Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight at 9 o'clock, right at the Western Conference, which is game four. And I got to be honest with you, Lou, I didn't really foresee things turning out to be the way they would be turning out. You know, I did figure Golden State to win, but I thought it would have been like in seven instead of it seems like it's about to be done in four, as well as the other conference final. You know, I'm very surprised at the outcome of that, but then injuries to Carroll, we kind of figured that it could have possibly been cut down, but you know, our predictions were as follows, as we said, to make it. But of course, I picked Cleveland, and I believe I put the Clippers to make it to the finals. Did you take Golden State? I think the matchup is exactly the way you predicted it, right? It's but let's go be Cleveland and Golden State, right?
Exactly. Yeah, for the most part, I expected Houston to put up more of a fight, which they did the first two games. I don't know what the hell happened the third game.
Yeah, that was like a mental breakdown there. That basically conceded the whole situation. Terrible that things ended the way they did, or transpired the way they did. Unfortunately for that, we just have to live with the circumstance, or at least they do anyway.
Yes, they do.
And, multiple things to get into, Lou. Multiple things. I mean, where do you want to start, my man? Where do you want to begin? Because we last time when we left off, I think both series was like one game to nothing. And it was, it looked like they were going to be competitive, at least the Western Conference. Did, you know, Houston played very tough, could really easily won game number two. You know, had hard not gave the ball away, turned the ball over in the final seconds of the game. I think that play there played a big part in why they came out flat. And I don't want to make excuses, but it's almost like that was the stake that snatched their heart based off the result that we saw in Houston when Golden State went down there, just pretty much trounced them by like 30-plus points. Tell me what your breakdown is.
Well, as far as game two going, I expect, you know, you hear a whole bunch of people talk about, oh, they should have called timeout. No. In that situation, you don't call a timeout, especially when you got possession of the rebound and offensively you have advantage over the defense running down the other court. Especially the guy that has the ball is pretty much the best free throw shooter on both teams. So you take it to the rim and try to get a foul call. Now, James Harden, he made a bad, quick decision to where he took a step back. And when you see it from another angle, when he made the little step back, you know, crossover, he actually had both. Klay Thompson and Curry faked that a little bit just enough so he could have a run towards the middle. But that's from the angle from we see it on the TV and from another angle on the court. It's not the same angle you see when he's playing, when he has the ball. So he had to give it up to Dwight Howard, and Dwight gave it right back to him. I think in that situation, I think, you know, they had enough time to where instead of Dwight running up the middle of the floor, I think he could have came closer to James to where he could have set a screen or give it like a handoff screen. He could have, you know, got a little bit more clearance to the basket. But just a split bad decision on his part, and, you know, Klay Thompson recovered just enough to get his hand in the right place to disrupt the ball from him. And that's pretty much how the end of that game went. But as far as game three, I don't know what happened in game three. James just had a bad shooting night. He was like, I think, 3 for 11 for the whole night, but everybody else just weren't playing. They just didn't play at all. I mean, you had one situation where you had Steph Curry got a rebound over Dwight Howard. He got inside and pretty much a clean box out and got the ball from him. And you can't put that on Dwight's fault because he's in the middle. He's watching the ball. You know, he's worrying about his man, which is away from the basket, so he's expecting to get a free rebound. Meanwhile, everybody else on the perimeter that's on the side of where Steph Curry was, you know, especially Jason Terry, who's guarding him, everybody else on the perimeter is sitting there watching the ball going in the air, paying attention to what the Warriors are doing, not even looking or checking bodies to keep them from getting inside. And he pretty much just walked down in there and just got a rebound and handed to him. So Houston, they gave that game away.
They did. They came in and played very uninspired basketball. I'm going to go back to that game, too, as well, Lou, because I've heard a lot of bad mouthing of the coaching staff with Kevin McHale of why he didn't call a timeout. And also, you know, in crises, who cracked. And then, in my opinion, I agree with you. I don't think you call a timeout in that situation. I mean, James Harden has the ball. He's the best player on your team. As a matter of fact, he was the best player of that night, to be quite honest with you. So, you know, with 7 seconds left, you're running down court. You have the numbers against you. I would think it was, 4-on-3. Dwight Howard cut up the middle, thinking far, far corner over there. I forgot who was over the far corner. And then you had another power forward. If you would have looked, and it's not to say I would have, been against it as it would if he took the shot, but it was the power forward was open. If you would have just kind of just led him to the basket, he would have had an easy layup. But, you know, in a crisis situation, you want to be the one to actually take that last shot. So, understand, he was double-teamed. Curry came off his man. Ariza was trailing him, so he couldn't see Ariza. So, you know, my thing is, either you take that shot or you pass it to the power forward as he was cutting to the basket down low because he was wide open. If you see that replay, it's like, wow. It would have been an easy layup or you know, even a catch and dunk. If you look carefully at it, but I understand tight crisis situation. If you're not going to do that, take the shot. He tried to dribble out and try to dribble around, and of course, like you said, Klay Thompson was managed to get his hands in there, along with the double team from Curry, and that caused the turnover. Game over. So you know, from a coaching standpoint, I think it was wise not to call the timeout. Let it play out. It's just hard, and you know, it's just one of those things. You can't win them all, and I'm not going to get on him because he just had one bad play. He was pretty much MVP for the Rockets in that game totally, and really, you know, they gathered himself. You know, I didn't think he did all that well either. He didn't shoot too well in Houston, and pretty much the rest of the team just gave up. And now we are where we are. I expect Golden State to go ahead and close them out tonight. I think their confidence is totally broken and shattered. They will go to the finals, and I think that'll be tonight. That's probably near to what I saw.
I pretty much sign this off after tonight. Even if they win this game, it's still gonna be a wrap. You know, win 3 in a row, no, they're not gonna do it. Especially how they showed flat that last game. Yeah, I don't see it. And especially going back to game 2, those Yeah, those are real tight situations. Especially, I even saw that play when, you know, the Pat Jones was cutting at the middle. But at the same time, when you look at that, Klay Thompson wasn't really playing. Klay Thompson wasn't playing close up on James yet when Steph was. So in that situation, you also run the risk of him intercepting the pass. And on top of that, in that situation, yeah, 7 seconds left. You got the ball running up. You have advantage over the defense. You push the ball up. One thing you don't want to do, especially against the Warriors, who pretty much one of the best defensive teams in the game, you don't want to give the defense a chance to take over. Run the ball up, take advantage of the defense, because if you take it up and then you want to call out timeout and set the play, guess what? Then that means Golden State is going to have a chance for them to set their defensive play. They got to take advantage of the situation.
I agree with you, Lou. They are, as we sometimes forget, and I say we, I mean, in general, most people forget, as well as and good as they play on offense, they are equally just as good on defense. I mean, Steph Curry is you know, a steel machine. They rebound the ball well. Draymond Green, Harrison, Barnes, you know, those guys play great defense. I mean, spectacular defense. You know, they force you into uncomfortable circumstances and situations. So, you know, it's you're right in that. I would have preferred him at least to take the shot. Might not want to risk passing it, although knowing me, I probably would have risked it because it looked like he had just a little bit of an advantage to the basket. It would have been a real quick pass. It would have been a quick decision. If you're going to make it quick. But why put him in that situation when you're the superstar, right? So take the shot. My whole thing is take the shot. And even if you miss it, it's okay. You can't make them all. But at least give yourself and your team a chance to win. Take that shot. Moving into the Eastern Conference, it's really just been LeBron. And LeBron, you know, because we know Kyrie Irving is not 100%, but his presence, I believe, is giving them, you know. But his presence, at least, is being felt. What he brings to the team, J.R. Smith, or Junior Smith, as I call him, has been showing up, showing big. Tristan Thompson and Milanova and some of the men, they're just playing real great basketball. And obviously, I think that matchup is over. I mean, the Hawks gave it their all. They played well in Cleveland. Just couldn't pull it out. Score game, 114-111. Couldn't pull it out. But they looked them, you know, they tried. They made an attempt. And, you know, I think that one was a wrap. I don't.
They had it, and they blew it. Because you remember, remember in regulations, the Hawks, they were up by 1 point when they got this, when T got the ball loose from LeBron at half court and brought it back. They had 25, there was 25 seconds left on the clock. And there was like a 3 second difference between the regulation clock and the shot clock, and the Hawks were up by one. All they had to do was hold the ball. You're up by one, hold the ball up until the shot clock is at 1 second. And when it's at 1 second, you basically just throw the ball up in the air, and the game is over. You had it won. Now, in that situation, Cleveland could have, you know, fouled them because they had a couple of fouls to give. I think it had six fouls or one foul, one or two, and they would have to take the ball, you know, inbound the ball. But even still, you're up by 1 point. All you had to do was hold the ball. Why are you rushing to score?
See, and that does let me know when your confidence is shaking and you have advantage in the final seconds, that just lets me know that it has really hit you that you panic and you're really not going to be strong enough to defeat this team. And it's crazy how we look at these teams and how they match up. I figured Atlanta would have played them. And you know what? I figured the coach would play them more or less like San Antonio played against LeBron when they beat him and forced him more or less into jump shot instead of just letting him just wreak havoc, taking it to the basket and having easy transition shots. But, you know, I don't get it. You know, He is coach of the year, though, right? I mean, he did take an Atlanta team that was mediocre, got them to the conference finals. That's the furthest they've gone. Is that the furthest they've ever gone in their in their history?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think.
Yeah,
is it? Wow.
Well,
and all those years with Lenny.
I don't think they've won a championship as far as the Hawks names goes, because they used to be the St. Louis Hawks back in the day. So, but I think just by the team, the franchise itself, I think that is the farthest that they ever went. Either that's the farthest they ever went or the farthest they went in a long time.
Okay, it could be both. I mean, I remember those Dominique Wilkins teams. They were pretty tough back in the day. And, of course, you had what's the all-time coach there? Lenny Wilkins?
Yeah.
That's his name. I forgot his name. Well, but basically, big-time coach. I think, you know, the reason why they couldn't get over that hump is because nobody could really get over the hump with that those Jordan teams and those Pistons teams and those Celtic teams. So, I was like, man, they didn't really have an opportunity to take in order to elevate themselves to the next level. So it looked bad. Didn't quite work out or go in the direction that they thought it was going to go in. So as an attribute to what we've been witnessing, like you say, panicking in crisis situation, and it just kills you. You can't do it. You have to find a way to stand firm and take hold of what you're doing, and they didn't do it. They cracked under pressure. Yeah. And I don't know what else to really say about it, Boo. I mean, right now these conference championships haven't been the way we actually thought they would be. We thought they would be competitive at the previous series, and they haven't been. They haven't. I'll say the Golden State Houston series was competitive after the first two games, but when they laid an egg in game three, I was like, wow. I said, yeah, this series is done. That is evident that is finished. But it's pretty good for them and that franchise, both franchises, Houston and Atlanta, both get to the conference finals. That's the first that they've been in a long time. And they still got much to grow on, and they can have an opportunity because, really, the torch is being passed. Wouldn't you say, Lou? Like, you know, San Antonio, I don't know if Tim is coming back. And I don't know what's going on with them. I don't expect them to be as strong. I think, you know, between Ginobili and maybe Parker, they might be gone. They might just go ahead and quit.
I think Tim will be back. Tim and Tony, they'll be back. I think they'll definitely be back. Now, the question is, Ginobili is the one that's in question whether he's going to be back or not. Because even after that series is over, Greg Popovich said himself that this team might look a little different, you know, starting next season.
He's done anyway, to be quite honest. He's a turnover machine. Like, you know, when he was in his heyday, he made some big plays in last season in the finals. He came up. But even before the year before that, he was a turnover machine and a liability for the San Antonio Spurs. So I don't expect him to be back. I think his days are numbered. You know, the Clippers, I mean, I expect them to do better. They practically could have had Houston beaten, and I think they would have matched up against Golden State a whole lot better than what Houston's doing. And they just let that series in the wind, and we'll see what happens. I think the bench is going to try to recruit and bring some people in to be a little bit stronger. Yeah, that's primarily what I see, Lou. I mean, out of the Western Conference, the Eastern Conference, I just think Cleveland to be better. I think they're going to be the best team for the next few years. Kyrie's still young. Everybody on that team is rather young outside of LeBron James, and he's still in his mid-30s. So, 31, 30 right now? Well, he has a lot more to go. And, Chicago, I think they're just going, I don't know. Thibodeau might not even be there. So, you know, they're basically like you said and you reported, or that's not reported, but you brought up the scenario and made a prediction that, you know, hey, L.A. is trying to go ahead and lobby for Thibodeau to go ahead and come there. And that's good because it transitions real nice to the next subject of what we're talking about, Kobe Bryant and his plans to be his last season in an L.A. uniform next season. Notice I didn't say retire, but I said last season in L.A. And if Kobe was not retired in Los Angeles, where do you think he'll go?
I can't really say. I don't know definitely up until next season. Pretty much the middle. I only have to wait till the end of the season, but coming up to All-Star Week in the next season, I'll have a definite idea where he could go. But right now, can't really say where he could possibly go. I mean, New York could be a possibility, but
it could.
You know, you would think Chicago would be, but you know how the front office is there. So, and he's not going to even take part in any of those shenanigans that they're running up there. So, really, those would be probably the only two outlets.
You know, and see, this is funny because we don't know necessarily what he's willing to sacrifice. If he's willing to sacrifice his own money, possibilities could be endless. I think we realize or come to the understanding, look, Melo's not going to ever win a championship. If I'm him, I'm not going to New York. If I want a chance to win an opportunity to win a ring, I'm not going there. Miami's done. Indiana, that's very attractive, right? Paul George and Kobe Bryant sounds great, but I don't think that's his lot in life to go to Indiana. Chicago, in my opinion, would be a really great place to go to. But with Butler elevating and then, of course, Thibodeau possibly not being there and the uncertainty of Derrick Rose and his feelings, I don't know. I don't think it'll be there either. Oklahoma, no, I don't see that. Maybe the Clippers. Maybe it just goes over to the other side there. Joins Chris Paul. Paul wanted to go to L.A. anyway. Remember that? He wanted to go there anyway. You add that piece, and even an aging Kobe Bryant is better, you know what I mean, than what you have in your starting lineup. So, you know, that, and if it was the Western Conference, I'd say, hey, maybe the other team in L.A. take a little bit of a pay cut, play with Doc Rivers, have an opportunity to just go ahead and put that team over the top. As far as the Eastern Conference, the only other team I can see is really nowhere. Out of that, maybe Washington? Maybe? No? Maybe Atlanta? But yeah. I got that too.
I mean, Washington, maybe. And speaking of that, we don't even know, you know, the situation with Paul Pierce there, whether he's going to hang it up or he's going to play one more year, you know, as a hired gun for another team.
I tell you what, if I'm him, I stay there. You got a possibility of getting Kevin Durant from free agency. Durant is going to go there or New York, or maybe stays in Oklahoma. Who knows for certain? But I tell you what, Billy Donovan is going to have an exceptional year if he's going to stay there. Like, they're going to have to almost make the finals in order for him to want to stay in Oklahoma the following season to give him an extension. If not, it's a possibility he could go to Washington. Possibility he can go to New York. But, you know, Durant, boy, you know, that's big time. Big time dollars, big time opportunity to go ahead and win a ring. Add to that team, and man. Well, yeah, I'm like you. I'm pretty much at a loss. I'm not certain as to where, you know, how things the chips may fall. Could fall and be a favorite in that sense, or it could be, you know, Murphy's Law. Could go wrong. Probably go the wrong direction. Who knows? But that's typically what I see, you know. Tell me what you see there, Lou.
Yeah, it's pretty much what is all, Joe, what is going to lead up from, you know, from what we've seen in the draft lottery going all the way up to the NBA draft. I think we might have a pretty good idea of what might happen after the NBA draft. There's a whole lot of different movement and things could happen.
Yeah, I think so too, man. It's gonna be very easy to see, man. So, you know, we're gonna keep our hands together and kind of look around and see what's gonna happen. But I tell you, yeah, it's quite a great situation. I know the Bears. Going to the NFL real quick, just wanted to get into that. They have picked up Ray McDonald, of course. McDonald came from 49ers on a domestic violence charge, basically got cut for that reason. They decided to pick him up, and guess what? Already, already, Lou, they cut him because he just got arrested. So he is out of there. And as quick as we were talking about him, it's as quick as he's out of there. And you know, when you see the climate being a certain level or a certain temperature, you know, one would think that you would be very careful as to what you're doing, how you go about your daily life, because the minute something happens in this kind of environment, they're going to throw the hammer at you or throw the book at you. It's going to ruin your chances, you know, in order to better yourself or better your life. So, you know, you look at Ray Rice, as you know, they pretty much acquitted the charges against his now wife, you know, and Janelle. And it's like now he's looking for work. And he's been out the whole full season, which we knew that was going to happen. And it's going to be hard for him to even find a spot on the roster. And he might actually be more talented than some of the players. But he plays out a position where everybody's saying that they don't need him. And then it's like you have this hanging over your head. And nobody wants the bad publicity of possibly picking them up. So what do you think, man? What do you say to somebody like McDonald or anybody else that gets caught up in a situation in this time in the NFL where it seems to be under high scrutiny?
In a situation like this, you got to keep yourself clean, man. Especially when you already have all the eyes on you for, you know, for the situation that has happened. You can't afford to mess up a second opportunity. Because, you know, everybody gets a second chance, you know. People make mistakes. But then, when you make another mistake, maybe two more, then it's a wrap. Throw this guy in the trash. He's no good. Why are you continuously doing stupid stuff? You give him an opportunity to clean up and you're still being dirty.
Yeah, I agree with you. You pretty much sabotage yourself. People have to be, this is the thing. I think a lot of times with athletes, they get this complex as if nothing can happen to them. I don't know if this is necessarily just a generational thing. Sometimes I think it is. And I know sometimes I get a lot of bad press was saying, oh, you guys think that because you're older, you do things differently. Well, the truth is we do. And there's a certain level of common sense that we inherited from our generation that we tend not to take part in. Like, if you know to learn from your mistakes and when to stay out of a situation when it's bad, I think that's more prevalent then. Now, people feel like the rules don't apply to them no matter what's going on. And then when the consequences happen, then they cry about it. So, you know, you look at this situation, this is a prime example. We've been seeing it for the most part. You see this Deflategate situation with Tom Brady. Look at the sanctions that came down on. Look at the punishment. It was highly severe, and you can't say that's just because of deflated footballs. No, that's because of the environment that everybody is in right now. You know, the NFL's taking a lot of heat. You know, you got a lot of question marks happening with Roger Goodell saying he's not handling this right, he's not doing this right. So the minute somebody does something, he's going to overdo it just to prove his point. And that's basically what's happening around the NFL. But some of these players don't seem to understand what's happening. Now is the wrong time to get in trouble. Mm-hmm. Right now, it's not the point or not the environment for somebody to sit there and make a mistake and do something stupid. You just can't. And, you know, and I'm not sure if this is basically the situation with McDonald, if this is what's going on due to him, due to the same charges that happened from way back when, it probably is. But, you know, yeah, at least you should wait till the finish before you do anything else. See, look what Dallas did. They picked up Greg Hardy, basically gave him a one-year contract. No one sent us no guaranteed money. And they waited after the punishment, and now they're basically giving him for half the money. And he's probably not going to play probably towards, like, you know, I don't know, week 12 or something like that. I think he got an 10-game suspension, right? So he's going to play in, like, yeah, week 12 after the two open dates or the one open date. And, you know, they ended up with Cherries, but it's like the Bears. Speaking of the Bears, I don't know what they're doing. I don't understand their management. You gave Jay Cutler a long-term deal for what? What has he proved? Hasn't done anything. Not a thing. I mean, they give him like $54-something million guaranteed, $106 million, you know, contract, and he had to go ahead and he has to compete for his position. Doesn't make much sense to me. Doesn't make sense to you, Lou?
No, don't.
I don't get it, man. If you want to waste money, I mean, we're right here. We'll figure out a way to do it. I mean, you don't got to give the money away. I mean, we'll take it. Shoot, you know. I know I would. I'd take it and be happy about it. You want to give me free money. I think I'd do better than a lot of the people when they get the opportunity, don't you? I would make the best of it. Where these guys, you know, top-notch athletes, they have the abilities to do it, but they don't have the mindset. And it looks pretty embarrassing when you see, you know, how they perform based upon the money that they receive. It's hideous. Very hideous. And, you know, it always seems like the NFL works backwards in that fact. Like, they always play people a lot of times that really don't earn it. And the people that actually that are working out there that do earn it, they don't want to give them opportunities at all. Like, it's crazy.
That's yeah, it's
what I see anyway.
Always cater to the one. Always cater to the knuckleheads with the raw talent.
Yeah, I mean they display raw talent, but man, do they do some hideous things for? So you know, and staying with the subject, of course, you know Tom Brady's suspension appeal has been delayed. Why? They're basically saying, I don't know. I guess it's because of the holiday. We'll put it on that, right? It's Memorial Day. Everybody's off somewhat today, so we'll go ahead and get a transaction after Tuesday. We'll get to Wednesday to go ahead and hear pretty much the appeal. And it'll be somewhat a 10-day. The Players League is basically filing on his behalf. How do you expect this to turn out? I mean, what do you see after?
You know, I think he's trying to appeal, but this situation, he probably won't get the four games. I think they'll stick to it and still sticking with at least two. I think the NFL might actually do right in this situation and still sticking with the two games. But I even still think that'll be even a far-fetched situation. They'll manage to let Tom Brady, you know, appeal all four games.
I'm like you, man. He's going to get two games. I sometimes listen to, you know, other outside reports and Skip Bayless for the most part. Oh, Tom Brady thinks he's going to try not to get any games. Well, it's not really up to him. The point is, it's not up to him. If it's up to him, of course he's not going to get in the game. But it's up to the NFL and Roger Goodell. He's not going to get that sentence reduced down to zero games. It'll be down two games. He'll miss two games of the season. We'll see Garofalo come in and see what he can do. And I know that pretty much burns Tom the most. But, I mean, come on, bro. I mean, you had every opportunity to come out and just, you know, vehemently deny that you had anything to do with it, that you was associated with anything that was going on and transpiring. I mean, they asked him several times over, right? He had a Jim Gray interview afterwards. He didn't want to say nothing. He didn't cooperate with the investigation. And, you know, this is the thing, Lou. No, and this is what I know. When you're in the world and you're working, people keep feeling like as if fair is an option. You ever see that? Like, okay, yeah, we're going to be fair with you. Most people are not fair. The world is not fair. I mean, sometimes in places, you know, and you have to fight for fairness, you'll get an opportunity to receive fairness. But for the most part, nobody cares about fairness. You know, nobody cares. These are NFL teams that have millions of dollars, and they're trying to find and figure out ways how to impose their will without having to part with their money. And guess what? Yep. They're going to do it. Whether you feel it's fair or not, that's what they're going to do. They're not going to give these players or give the ability to these players to have guaranteed contracts. Remember we've been talking about that? NBA guaranteed contract, baseball guaranteed contract, NFL no guaranteed contract. Why? Because of the injury factor. And they're going to use that so they don't got to pay play. So like we say, yeah, Lou, you know, I'll go ahead and promise you, hey, Lou gets a $1 million deal with about $1,000 guaranteed. So everybody's focusing on the $1 million, but in actuality, only $1,000 of that is guaranteed. That's how they work. That's how they operate. You know, they said Michael Vick had an opportunity, $200 million contract. No, he didn't. It was $40 million guaranteed, and before, I think the other one was like $64 million guaranteed. That's what he got. So, you know, people need to wake up out of this fantasy land and stop thinking that the world is going to be fair to you, because they're not. The world is fair to themselves. And, yeah. You know, I don't know, every time I hear that, hear Skip talk about, you know, yeah, you know, this isn't right and such, listen, Tom Brady knew what was going on, bottom line, okay? Let's not lie to ourselves. He knew. That's why he didn't want to come out early on. There'd be no reason. Yeah. If you was innocent from the beginning, you would have just came out, right?
Yep.
I mean.
He's not worried about nothing. He's having fun, you know. Last week, he was out playing golf with Jordan and a couple other people. You know, he's not worried about nothing.
Hey, listen, I wouldn't say that. I think he knows he's going to play. You know what it is? For, like, we get to a certain level of success, now it's about your image. You know what I mean? It's no longer about anything else but that. Like, your name and your reputation is what means more to anything and anybody or in your life now. Like, some people, like, you know, they're not like common folk. Common folks, like myself, like you, we go through life, and the things that matter most is probably what, you know, our faith, our family, and our friends, right? These successful people, it's like all that stuff comes secondary. It's always themselves and then their reputation. It just is. I don't make this stuff up. It's the truth. People worry more about whatever people think about them, because that is going to dictate how much more money they're going to get in the long run. That's really the way of thinking. That's the logic. It's like even somebody like Chris Brown. You know, Chris Brown's a talented artist. You know, on the unnecessary terms, you know, he wouldn't care, right? But then what he realized is that if he doesn't care, then his money's going to stop and slow down, because people have distinct hatred for him because of what he was accused of doing or what he was guilty of doing with Rihanna, right? And that's really the fact. And, you know, I hear him in these instances. Yeah, I don't care what anybody thinks. I'm going to blah, blah, blah. You're lying. You do, because what everybody thinks about you is going to dictate how much money you're going to make. And therefore, that makes you care, because you lose millions of dollars. That's why you care. Now, if you're like myself or other people, if you've already made millions of dollars, then really nothing you say or do is going to really affect me or have any kind of bearing on what I do, because I'm already rich. But we know they want to continue being the limelight. They want to continue being wealthy. They want more money, more money, more money. The extra greedy, and I think a lot of times that's what people do. So I think, if you ask me, is Tom Brady going to be all right? In the long run, he will once the season starts and they start winning. But the longer this thing drags out, it's just going to be horrible for him, because he has to see his reputation being dragged into the ground and him being visualized as a cheater. And, you know, does deflated football make a difference on whether he's going to beat you or not? I don't think so. I mean, you asked me that for real. That's not really anything significant, a deflated football. I mean, he beat the Colts with an overinflated football. You remember that? Beat them 45-7. Every time they play the Colts, they just pretty much blow them up. They beat them by at least 20 and plus points every time they play. So it's not as if that was going to make a difference in the game. But it's the fact that he took that competitive edge and, you know, he knew about it. He just would have been better off to just say, yeah, I knew about it, and just kept moving.
That's all he had to do.
But you know what I realized? See, Luke, the truth is, I'm going to tell you, and this might take a little lift to the side, but it's the truth. The reality in life is it's much easier to just admit the truth. You have less issues. You ever notice that? Because people get over a whole lot faster when you just come out the gate and say, okay, yeah, I did it. I'm sorry. You don't even fight. You just say, okay, you know what, I did it. Are you going to forgive me? What are you going to do? Look at Michael Vick. They pretty much hate this guy. They still do because it was pets and, of course, of other mitigating factors against him. But the reality is he never denied of what he did. He just went, did his time, got out. All of a sudden, half of the people that hated him, now they love him. Right, it was almost all forgotten about Vic. He's out there living his life correctly. He's trying to do things positive. He never lied about his situation. He just continues to apologize and move forward. That's how you get past. That's when you try to lie about things. Terrible. So what else you got on the agenda there, Lou?
Well, as we're speaking with hatred, you know, another thing that's terrible. And this is going back to last week's topic of stupid people. And I am talking about the New England Patriots fans. You have New England Patriots fans out in front of Gillette Stadium. You know, pretty much like a protest. They're out there like a protest, holding up signs saying "Free Tom Brady." You either have one couple that was out there that are holding or postponing their honeymoon until Tom Brady is clear of everything.
I tell you, I don't know where to even begin with that scenario. I mean, where do you even begin? I mean, sometimes I ask myself, are people really this stupid? I really do ask that. I really sit down and say, people can't be this dumb. They just can't. I refuse to believe. People really are this naive, this absent-minded, and this stupid. I mean, what am I missing here? I mean, obviously, you know, and that's what, remember we had a conversation a few weeks ago about blind loyalty. Remember that, Luke? We covered about a good 20 to 25 minutes on blind loyalty. People that without cause go ahead and choose to follow someone, even though they know that what the person is doing is not necessarily right or true. But they continue to follow and absolve that individual, knowing that individual is wrong. It's like, I don't understand. I don't quite get this. I don't see how you don't see this, because it's quite evident to me as to what's going on. When you look at the facts of the situation, the facts are very clear. I mean, you can just look at it from afar. Okay, you have two equipment guys. Okay, they deal with Tom Brady. Tom Brady requests his ball to be slightly deflated. Okay. Did he tell them to deflate the ball? Why else would they deflate the ball? You think if you're a regular person, I'm going in and I'm doing my job, wouldn't I just normally just go about my business? Why would I even take a risk of risking my job or career for something I don't have to risk? Why would I do that? I mean, that makes absolutely no sense to me. I mean, I don't know. Am I missing something here?
Oh, you're not missing anything.
I mean,
just people are just people are just plain stupid.
It has to be. That's all I can attribute it to, because if I know, we have never played a day in our life in NFL football. This is just common sense to me. They don't get deflated unless somebody tells them to do it. Why would they just out and out just do it? And then you tell me, okay, so he's not guilty, so who is? This is regardful. So who would tell them to do it? And tell me he didn't know anything? All right, so we can acknowledge, just based off common sense and knowledge, looking at the facts of what happened, we can pretty much come to the understanding that he pretty much knew what was going on, or he had an idea of what was going on. Even he didn't know to what extent. I'd be given that to say, okay, I didn't know what level they deflated the ball to, but I did tell them to put him on the low end. We can acknowledge that, right? I mean, we can. I mean, that would make the most sense. So already he came out into the public and lied about that, okay? And because he got caught and got punished for it, people are upset. It always trips me out. Just like when people wear these free such and such, free Boosie, free this person, free that person. You ever think about it? The people they're asking to free are actually guilty of what they're doing? Those people are actually guilty of what that's why they're in prison in the first place. And you talking about free them because what? You like them?
And see, in this situation compared to those, which makes it even stupider, because at least with those situations, free this particular person makes sense. You know why? Because they're in prison. Because they're going away for a long time. This guy is only going to get suspended for a few games. He's not suspended for the full season. He's not banned from the NFL. It's just a few games. Why are you people being idiots in front of Gillette Stadium holding up free signs like he's going away for the rest of his life? And I'm a New England fan. I'm from the area, but I'm saying right now, you people in Foxborough, you're being real stupid.
Yeah, see, well, that's the thing. You know, it comes down to the fact of what we were talking about before. It's his image. They don't want him to be tarnished. But it's too late. He is already. He's got to deal with that. He has to admit what he did, take the brunt of what he did, take the criticism and all this other stuff that comes along when you do something, and then he got to move on. To me, it's not going to change the fact that he's probably the best quarterback we've seen. He's one of them. You got to give him that, right? You can't take that away from him. You don't win four Super Bowls by being some average individual. You don't get the six of them by being somebody that's just average. He's Tom Brady. He's actually somebody who's earned his stripes. But listen, he's guilty of this situation. So don't tell me free him. Don't tell me, oh, he's not supposed to get some kind of blame or accountability for what he did. And he did something. People missing their honeymoon. You got to be cool. And they're not going until this gets resolved. I kind of, you know, that's so stupid. And then sometimes, you know what I kind of think too, maybe some people do this too so they can get a little bit of publicity as well. Right? Yeah. Get a little money, a little bit of support, so they can pay for that honeymoon, right? Mm-hmm. Now, we might have to come out of pocket, you know, maybe we can go out here support Tom Brady, stand on the outside, hold a sign and say how great he is. Yeah, you know.
Get a little Kickstarter fund going.
That's terrible. That's absolutely awful. The things people try to do and achieve is just, it's a mockery of the truth. Man. I don't know what to say on that one. I'm kind of at a loss of words because to me it's pretty obvious that a lot of times, you know, This is the new trend. I never seen anything. Everybody says free that person. Really, have a look at it. Some of these cats are like really guilty. Then it did some horrible, horrendous to somebody, and you sitting up here talking about some freedom. But if that was done to you, would you say freedom? If the action was taken against you, would you say free? Yeah, free Tom Brady. Free him from what? For what he did? He did it. Good. What else you got, Lou, before we take it on now?
Well, going back to the Cleveland and Atlanta series, as we said, both series are almost 3-0 right now. And really, for the most part, I think out of the two, I think Houston has a chance to win in game four over Atlanta pretty much because, you know, I don't think Carroll is still, even though Carroll came back and played, you know, after that injury, I still don't think he's 100% where he's at. And also, I think Kyle Korver is out as well from, you know, sustaining his injury. During that, I think it was that game or the game, I think it was the game before that. And on top of that subject, we need to get somebody out there to teach Matthew Dellavedova to hustle without being reckless. Can we please get somebody on that, please?
Who are we going to call for that, Lou? Would that be the coach? Oh, my bad. Who is the coach of Cleveland at this particular point? Do we even know? Is it LeBron or is it Black? Who is it?
Oh, LeBron. Yeah, LeBron is covering. Yeah, LeBron is covering for him, so he's not going to say nothing about it. If you see it in the press conference after that game, the reporter was questioning Matthew about the play. You know, everyone was asking him whether it was like dirty or not. And before he could even answer, LeBron put his hand out in front of me like, hold on. Like he was going to answer for him. Why are you serious right now?
You got to do it, right? You have to do it, Lou. He just has to. There couldn't be no other way. If he doesn't answer that question for him, then we don't have nothing to talk about. You got to give LeBron a tremendous amount of credit, though. Look, you know, he's sitting there, and he's led that team to the finals in his first season back. It's like, that's remarkable. The team barely won. I don't even think they won 20 games the year before, did they? But he comes back, and all of a sudden, they're going to the finals. I mean, that says a lot.
Yeah.
And he leaves Miami, and Miami doesn't make it to the playoffs. Yeah. I would say that, I guess that answers the reason why he's going to answer the questions, right? He'll answer the questions because of that specific purpose. So.
He answered the question. I mean, he sat right next to LeBron and said, I can answer the question, man. I'm like, well, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah, he probably got reprimanded as soon as he got off camera and said, listen, okay, my rules, my team, join it or be done.
All I got to say is going up the next game, Jeff Teague, watch yourself. Loose ball on the floor, don't go for it. You might get hurt, too.
Didn't it get something like Horford committed something serious, and I didn't get any more.
Yeah, you know what? That was a bad call situation. That was a bad situation because they were both wrestling for the ball, and Horford was holding him down by the shoulder, which took Matthews off balance, and Matthews was falling into his leg. So that situation, I'm not going to call Matthews a dirty player. I'm just saying he's a little reckless with how he's hustling for the ball. So I'm not saying it's dirty. Now, with the situation that happened with Taj Gibson, I'm going to say that was a Bush League play there because he purposely did that. The other players were Korver and Horford. I'm not going to say he purposely did that because he didn't. But Horford, it looked like he was going to hit him coming down. But at the same time, it's like his knee buckled. Yeah, to move his leg, and at the same time he's falling, so he's off balance. He was going to come down on top of him regardless, and he didn't hit him with the elbow. It looked like a wind-up, but he didn't actually hit him with the elbow. So really, how the rules is going down is, you know, it's all about contact. That's how the flagrant foul is assessed. It's about unnecessary contact. And the contact wasn't really unnecessary because he didn't follow through with it. If anything, you give him a flagrant one. Why a flagrant two? You get a flagrant two and you kick him out the game, and that pretty much settled what was going to happen with the Hawks, even though they had a chance to win the game and they gave that away. And on top of that, you give Matthews a technical foul, which that in itself doesn't make sense. And even in that situation, you give him technical foul. To this day, we still don't know why they gave Matthews that technical foul.
Yeah. I think I got Bean on the line here. Bean, are you in?
LeBron James is
Bean,
me,
are you
sir.
There?
LeBron. Hello? Hello?
Yeah. That's how that's what we need to answer. Prank call.
LeBron James, MVP.
No, I'm sorry.
LeBron James, MVP,
MVP
all day.
What's the MVP's name there, Lou? His name is what, Steph Curry?
Yeah. Steph Curry's MVP.
Yeah. I got to just score 40 points in game three, that guy. I think that guy is MVP. Other guy's pretty good. He's won it before, but, you know, right now I'm going to give your boy Steph the credit. But with that, with further ado, got to go ahead and get out of here. Lou's been wonderful. We'll be back Wednesday. It'll probably be the wrap-up and more than likely the whole breakdown for the finals. And
you came too late.
That's great. Yeah, came too late. That's kind of how it works out. But we do have a surprise for you. We call this beautiful music, and this is how we let the people know that it was a wonderful time. Have a good one.